I think I just
my head has never been in a space.
<It's too laughs> Phil. You know what I say to you? I say, oh, Phil. Yay, Phil. All right. Phil, everything seems like it's working, so I'm going to start to stream the meeting on the Facebooks. Phil, why don't you fill us in while I'm doing this?
What would you like me to fill you in with? Like Phil's Phil for today? splendid storm yesterday.
I'm listening, Fred. Do you want to talk to Phil while I'm doing this? Jesus, I'm like typing.
I said it was a splendid storm yesterday, right? The thunderstorm.
Yes, it was splendid.
Oh dear, we had such like proximity to the thunder that our floor shook a little, and so I woke up a little. I'm like, what the hell was that?
Oh, Phil.
Did you know that white flash of light? Yeah.
I hate it when you're frightened.
Do you know that Phil's new job has him going to bed at 5 p.m. now, Phil? Is that what you said?
Pretty much.
No, it's 7 p.m.
7.
All right.
And then the storms rolled in, of course, at about 8 or 7, somewhere around there, right?
You go to bed 7. How do you watch the Jays?
Dude, he's been going to bed at like 6.
I think since I watched the Blue Jays once in my life, and that was in Rogers Center.
No. Well, there's something happening here with the Blue Jays.
Is there really?
There's something happening with the Jays. They want to get
what is happening with the Jays, by the way?
They're only a couple of games out of a playoff spot now.
What?
They won like 6 or 7 in a row.
What song is that, by the way?
Because I'm excited.
Well, I like it when you talk like that. Do the entire show like that. What is that song? Something's happening here. Horizon. Oh,
that's USS.
Right.
Yin Yang.
Is that what that is?
Yep.
Hey. No. I was mimicking Greg Carrasco. Because since we've known him, right, or known of him, although we had him on the show once, he's worked at about 15,000 dealerships in the GTA. And every time he goes to a dealership, he buys a radio campaign and he says, something's happening here.
You just have to drive to Newmarket, right?
No, he's in Oakville now.
Oakville now, eh? Oh.
Yeah, something's happening there.
Something's happening in Oakville. Why isn't this playing? Can't play the current song. Why is that, Phil?
I don't know. Could it be a Spotify software issue?
And don't tell me I can't play anything off Spotify. That's crazy.
Yeah, I get the impression Greg Carrasco is a fixer. He's a car industry fixer. He goes into your dealership and he fixes it and then he moves on. Because on the other hand, you think, why, the man can't keep a job? Well, if he can't keep a job, nobody would hire him. But obviously, he can go pretty much any dealership he wants. He must be a fixer.
He's like that guy that Harvey Keitel, the character Harvey Keitel played in Pulp Fiction. Comes in at the end, he mops up Mr. Pink or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm curious, fellas. This hasn't happened for a while. Let me see if this works. Hold on, Phil. Oh, there we go. All right. Do your business.
The following.
Holla.
Fred is brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa.
All right.
Gig Sky, the Chambers Plage, Bodog, T2 Utility Engineers, Big Ass Fans, and our newest sponsor, Duer. D-U-E-R, the world's most comfortable pants. If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred, we have a Patreon account. And now from the remote headquarters of the Humble and Fred Show, here are Humble and Fred.
Humble and Fred. Da-ba-la.
I needed love, most of all.
All right. Everything seems fine. I've fixed the issue. You know, you're free to talk if you want. I'm just doing something here. Go ahead.
I don't have anything more to say about Greg Carrasco, so I'd have to move on. There's something happening here. This Layla Fernandez has moved into the semifinals of the U.S. Open, another Canadian kid. On both sides, there's also Felix Auger Alassimi, I think his name is. He, a Canadian kid, moved into the semifinals. So at the U.S. Open, there's a Canadian in the men's, Canadian in the women's semifinals. That is something happening here.
That's crazy. By the way, this isn't the song that has something's happening here in it, I don't think. Andrescu, didn't she bow out because of injury?
She battled to the end, but the match she was in the final set, she was battling a leg injury, I believe. I don't think she quit or left the match. I think she was there to the bitter end, but in the end, she just couldn't. The injury was too much. But what's going on
and Andrescu. Like,
what's going on here? I mean, traditionally, Canadians in tennis, right? Like, for decades, like, we were nowhere, man. Nowhere, man.
He's and a real nowhere, man.
Andrescu, you know, she wins the U.S. Open a couple of years ago or whenever it was, and now these kids. And this Layla Fernandez, everybody loves her. She beat Alina Svitolina yesterday, who was the favored, the number 5 seed. But the crowd in New York just loves this Layla kid. Now, after the match, they said, what is going on in Canada? What are they feeding you people that you're producing tennis stars now? And she said, it's the maple syrup.
Aww, everybody. Did she?
Oh, the crowd went crazy, Howard.
The crowd loves that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I can tell you guys right now, there seems to be a little bit of a Zoom. Phil had a little bit of a kick up on the intro, and you're kind of coming in and out. So if it gets any worse, we're going to have to restart the Zoom meeting for everybody. But well, I'll keep an eye on it, okay?
It's unusual because you sound smooth.
Say again?
It's unusual, Howard, because you sound smooth.
Oh, thank you, Phil. Thank you. Thank you, Phil. I feel very smooth. Like,
did my voice warble?
A little bit. You had a little bit of warbling there during that fascinating retelling of the tennis story. Phil had some on the intro.
I'm not sure you're fully appreciating it.
Well, and there's also a bit of a delay between us.
Hmm.
I do appreciate it, but I'm also fixing and working.
I know, but you can still appreciate while fixing and working.
Okay, I'll stop fixing and working and appreciate.
No, you don't need to do that. You could just be smiling. That would show the appreciating while you're fixing and working.
Michael Landsberg returns to our show here momentarily. We have another conversation with Michael. We had such a nice chat with him last time, but we never got to a few of the points that we wanted to. The Sherpa's with us, as always, on a Wednesday. The Sherpa and I playing a golf tournament on the weekend together. We spent all day with that beautiful angel man. And just a couple other things. So tell me about the Blue Jays, and let me appreciate them.
Well, the Blue Jays, they haven't lost in September. In what a week ago appeared to be an outside shot at one of the wild cards, has now turned into something very doable. I mean, they're only 2 games back of the Red Sox, just 2.5 back of the Yankees, who hold down the 2 wild card spots. And like, it's pretty amazing. And the bats have been booming. They beat the Yanks 5-1 last night, beat them 8-0 the night before. The day before that, they beat Oakland 8-0. This Marcus Semien, he's up to 38 home runs now. They signed him on a 1-year deal, and he's just been amazing. It's fantastic. It's fantastic, man. There's nothing it like is. September baseball when it matters.
Well, I'm looking here. The Jays are 12 back. Red Sox are 10-9.5 for the Yankees of the Rays. So really, they're just trying to get into it. Now, a wild card. Yeah. They're battling the Yankees and Red Sox for the wild card, which means what? They get to play one playoff game?
Yeah, the 2 wild card teams, right?
Right.
Playoff for the right to get into the tournament with the three division winners, so to speak. And so that, there's three divisions, right?
Right. So they'll get into the division with the Rays with a
no, not necessarily.
Oh, I see.
Listen to me.
While
there's
you're three warbling. Divisions.
There's am I still?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's not your fault. I didn't mean to yell.
Well, what do I do? Do I leave and come back?
Yeah, we'll think about that for a second. Anyway, so if you get the wild card, you don't necessarily play the division leader in your division?
No, because the wild card, everybody is in contention for the wild card regardless of division. So the three division winners make the playoffs, the two wild cards play off, and then whoever wins the wild card, they play the team with the best record during the regular season.
Okay, well, let me ask you a stupid question.
Which in the American League would be the Rays, but I'm just saying that's not it's not structured that you play within your division. Necessarily. Okay.
So what's the point of getting the wild card? You just get to play one game and probably get eliminated by the leader? Or do you play a series?
Well, that can be the negative way of looking.
No, let me ask you this. So if you get the wild card spot, then do you go into a playoff series or is it one game?
Yes. That's different. I just explained that. The three division winners make the playoffs.
All right.
Then the wild card winner
also makes the playoffs.
Becomes the fourth team, right? And now the playoffs begin in their best 3 out of 5 and then 4 out of 7.
Okay. Let me ask you a stupid question there, Warbler. But how many divisions are there?
Three.
Okay. So isn't there a wild card in every division?
No. No. There's three division races. There's three divisions. And then there's the wild card race. So it doesn't matter what division you're in, right? The team with the best record who would be in second place, right?
Yes.
There's two of those. So it's open to anybody. So you got your three division leaders. And you can be the shittiest team in baseball, but lead your division. Just say if that's where the chips fall.
Okay.
Right? So that doesn't matter. As long as you win your division, you're in.
There's
three of them.
So there's the AL East, cards, right. The AL West, and the AL Central.
Yes.
And you're looking to be the wild card. There's only one wild card winner out of those three divisions. And then you become the fourth division in the playoffs of the AL of the American League.
Yes.
Okay.
That's how it works.
All right.
And they instituted the wild card for this very reason. Because if you didn't have the wild card, it would pretty much be a foregone conclusion who's going to the playoffs in September wouldn't have the the fun and interest that it's going to carry through this month for the wild card. So that's pretty cool.
Well, it is. And when do we, how long will this go on? When will we know if the Jays? Well, I guess because they're really only they're
end
sort
of September.
Okay, because they're really in it there where they're only a couple back of the Red Sox and 2.5 back of the Yankees.
Yeah, the division's gone. Like Tampa Bay is just amazing. Tampa Bay and Dodgers will probably be in the World Series, but you know the development of the Blue Jays, a young team, if they can secure that wild card and then maybe have a good. Maybe win that wild card game and then go into a series against Tampa Bay or one of the big teams, then and do well. It's part of their growth.
So what you're saying is something's happening here. There you go, Phil. This is something's happening. I'm sorry, Fred. Go ahead.
Dan Duran says your volume is low.
I know it's because the original sound is off. Okay. No, thank you, Dan Duran. Among the other things I'm working on, that's one of them. Are you interested in the Ryder Cup at all?
Which one is that?
Europe against the Americans.
I guess, yeah.
The reason I bring it up is today's the day. The captain. You like what?
I like anything like that. I mean, I wouldn't watch that until the final round, but.
Well, that's a 3-day team competition. The women's version of it just wrapped up on the weekend, something called the Solheim Cup. It was pretty good, but it's Europe. Whenever it's Europe against the Americans, I always cheer for the Europeans. I do. I don't know why. More and more lately, I just love watching the Americans lose because they have really the biggest superstars. You know, in their league, the PGA Tour is the best tour on the planet, and most of the Europeans now play on the PGA Tour. Number one player in the world, though, is a European. But anyway, just generally, the Europeans do better in this competition because they're just more regular guys. They sort of travel together. They're more of a team mentality. The reason I bring it up today is the day the American captain will pick his, he'll make his picks for the people that didn't qualify for the event. Anyway, usually I watch it. It's pretty cool. It's compelling golf because it's all match play, but this year I will not be able to watch it. I'll be playing a golf tournament myself on that weekend, but anyway. It's good. You know, like I said, isn't it weird, though, that you'd think we would be cheering for the Americans, but I just can't.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about that. Maybe we need... Canadians wouldn't be involved in that, obviously.
No, they are in the President's Cup, though.
No, I know. You know, the whole concept, I'm not comfortable with it because that bugs me. I've told you that before. The United States against Europe. United States against the world. It's like, eh. But,
well, they've been playing this competition since like the late 1800s. So initially it was just the U.S. against England. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until sort of the early 80s that they started including Great Britain and the rest of the continent.
I know they probably couldn't do that based on the numbers, but country against country would be probably a little more interesting. But I know a lot of those countries don't produce enough golfers to make it a contest. So.
Well, that was the idea behind allowing, Spain and France and everyone else in on the competition.
It's like women's hockey. Like, it just blows me away. It's like, okay, we're going to have a tournament, and we know Canada and the U.S. are going to play in the final. Let's go and talk some other teams into let's talk some other teams into making it look like it's actually a competition and actually a tournament, okay?
Well, but
let's speak to the people in Japan.
But in the hockey world, it would be like Canada against a bunch of teams that got together to try and beat Canada. It would be like Canada against Europe.
Yeah. Which I believe one of the World Cup thing they had, or I forget, they tried that concept 1 year. NHL can't stick to anything, though. That's the problem.
What do you mean? You know?
Well, they're all-star games. Like, it's been a mishmash. I really liked, it used to be North America. I think the best one they had was North America against the world. That was the all-star game.
Oh, I know. Yeah, when they changed the format of that game. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
They're way, way more compelling.
Yeah, like back at, remember, yes, the days it used to be the Campbells against the Wales. The conferences meant nothing. Even East against West used to mean something. Then the Campbells against the Wales. Now it's down to Team Sid against Team Connor. Like, they've totally lost... They've lost control of this thing. But I liked it when it was North America against the world, because those guys showed up. They, there was a little pride on the line.
No, for sure. In a second, why don't we talk a little bit more sports with Bodog? But first, let me tell you about the world's most comfortable pants. I'm wearing them. Have a look at this. There we go. See that? Those are actually jeans. Those are jeans. But they're
streaming to the world.
They are.
Wow.
Howard's Fancy Pants.
I'm telling you, they're jeans, but they don't feel like jeans. Now, Rachel said that you're supposed to, like, when you get new clothes, you're supposed to wash them first. I don't know why. It softens them up. But these ones, you don't need to. They're line at Dewar's, D-U-E-R. They say they're the world's most comfortable pants. And I'm telling you, I can't. They're so remarkably comfortable. You won't believe you're wearing pants, Phil. Natural materials in combination with technical achieves breathability, comfort, and strength for everyday wear. No longer do I have to sacrifice performance when you want to dress up or style when you're on the move. Doer is proudly Canadian and prides itself on having a collection of natural fiber fabrics, meaning the majority of the fibers originate from plants, eucalyptus trees, wood chips, and recycled alternatives to oil, but it all adds up to super comfort. Use the code Humble and Fred. That's the A-N-D, by the way. Humble and Fred 15 for 15% off your next order. That's D-U-E-R.
He said, I'll give you $1.
.ca. You can also get pants for women and men, both men and women, and some cool t-shirts. And I've got your t-shirts here. Can't wait for you guys to wear them as well. DUER.ca. Use promo code HumbleAndFred15 for 15% off, Freddie.
Bodog.eu/sports. Go there. Lots of fun. Whether you're a sports bettor, a horse racing fan, a poker, a casino player, Bodog, your number one source of online gambling and entertainment. From their industry-leading odds and world-class sportsbook and feature-rich poker room to their fully loaded casino and racebook, it's all there. They've been providing Canadian players with an unparalleled gambling experience since 1994. Hey, the NFL begins tomorrow night. I'm excited. The fall comes, you get a bit down, but then you think, hey, it's NFL. And the first game tomorrow night, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, an 8-point pick over the Dallas Cowboys, the over-under 52. And my Bills on Sunday, yeah, they're favored over the Steelers, 6.5, 6.5, okay? Minus 6.5. And tonight, the Yankees, the Jays are just kicking, putting the boots to them, but the Yanks favored tonight, slight favorite, 1.5.
Oh, very nice.
.eu/sports.
I have a little quick story for you. Are you in the mood for a quick story? A story, observation, type of thing.
Is it sexual?
Yeah, actually, it has a sexual connotation to it. So yesterday afternoon, it rained, and I was out at this golf thing, a little golf tournament, fun, thing for money, was fun, and I came home. And I didn't realize I have a different case on my phone now. I used to have an OtterBox, which is completely waterproof, and I'd had it so long it was the thing cracked. Anyway, I got rid of it. So I came home last night. It was late. Went right to bed. I was, watching some videos. Not those kind of videos, you nasty bastards. What's that?
That's why the old case cracked.
No. So I go to plug my phone in, and I get this immediate message, and I've never seen this before, where it says, quickly, it says, alert, unplug your phone, because there's moisture detected. Have you ever seen that, Phyllis? And I did it, so I unplug my phone, the charger, I plug it back in, same thing. I do it a third time, same thing. So I go, okay, well, the phone's working, everything is functioning fine. But obviously there's some moisture inside the charger port. So I go downstairs, I get some rice, and I get a bowl of rice and I stick the phone in it for an hour. And just before I go to sleep, I check again and sure enough, it works. So problem solved, right? But then I've got this bowl of rice next to my bed. And I'm just thinking to myself, what if I die tonight and they come in and they find the bowl of rice next to my bed? I'm like, is that the report that's going to go back to my kids and family and Rachel? Oh, yeah. Howard passed away. Yeah, we found this this bowl of rice next to his bed because the phone's not plugged. It would be different if the phone was still in the rice bowl. Everyone would get it. But what are people to think? That I've died and there's a rice bowl next to the bed. Somehow I was doing some shenanigans, personal fuckery.
Yeah, because it would be uncooked rice too. Even That's if right. it was cooked rice, people could say, yeah, the guy eats everywhere.
he was having a snack.
But uncooked rice.
Yeah.
What are the shenanigans you're talking about? Describe that. What would that be, Howard?
Well, maybe people would have thought, that's what he's the guy's into, he puts his wiener in the rice bowl. Yeah, Phil. Right. And then that's how he gets his pleasure.
He died making porridge.
That's right. You know, would be like, why? He's dead, but why the rice bowl? Because he would be a mystery. You're right, Fred. If it was cooked rice, they'd go, oh, he must have had a snack at bedtime.
Yeah.
But it's a bowl of uncooked rice.
He had a bowl at, he had a snack at bedtime. He likes, you know, plain white rice before he goes to bed.
Actually, Phil, it was sushi rice. I don't know why I have it, but I've
Oh, short grainy.
Yeah, had a bag of sushi rice.
And, he's wrapping around a roll.
I was like, this is all, this is how I'm going to go out. The kids are going to be, oh, yeah, that's great. Dad had a thing for rice. What if that's like they discover later? Oh, yeah, Howard, he was really into like jamming rice into his wiener hole.
Oh, nice.
I knew you'd love wow. that.
Yeah, that is, yeah. Thank God you didn't die. You didn't have to worry about it. Oh, you wouldn't have to worry about it anyway if you died. But yeah, the shame, your family, you don't have to worry. They're not going to go through that shame.
No, I know. I mean, and now to sort of pivot. Do you want to have a little pivot?
Mm-hmm.
What about the shame of people dying and going to the ICU because they took horse dewormer? There's just some. I know there was a story yesterday I told you about, but there's so many of them now. Of people going to the hospital in America. I don't know if we're doing it here yet. You know, having taken the horse dewormer. That's where we are, by the way. We're at the horse dewormer part of the pandemic.
I know. It's like everything else, especially in the United States, so polarized, right? That you can't, you are so committed to not taking the vaccine that you'll take that medicine.
Oh, yeah.
And to be clear, in certain dosages, humans can take it. But they're saying there's no connection between, you know, COVID and that helping or curing it.
I hadn't heard that. You can take it?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Seriously?
Yes. Yes. It's a parasite thing that humans have taken in smaller doses.
Oh,
yes.
I see. So they actually... Mm-hmm. Is that the ivermectin? Is that what it is?
Yes.
So it's been prescribed. So people are getting sick because they're doing it themselves. They're like just mm-hmm. squeezing tubes of deworming paste into their gag holes.
I guess. I driving home yesterday. I was listening to Sirius XM, and I happened upon one of those right wing radio. I forget the guy's name. Anyway, mid afternoon on channel 125 or something, and he was taking calls from people that were. The whole idea of the show was the vaccine is needless. Look at all this other wonderful shit we can take. And people were calling in saying, you know, they took that ivermectin and they took other stuff. And in 2 days, it was great. In 2 days, that's all it took. Why would I get a vaccine? I just popped a couple of these things and in 2 days I was fine. And yeah, and call after call after call. It was fascinating, actually. But none of those people wanted the vaccine.
Go ahead, Phyllis.
Well, and those folks who are taking those pills aren't totally nuts because, ironically, last fall, they did tests using ivermectin. But the problem is it's the way they interpreted the results. Basically, ivermectin did work in vitro. And in other words, like they tried it scientifically in little tiny doses in certain cells and it was fine. But these guys took the advice and just bought some pills and drank them. And that's why there's overdoses.
Every time I say ivermectin, I think of Ivor Hamilton. I tell him I do. Every time I hear the word ivermectin, I go, I wonder how Ivor's doing with his new dog.
I thought that was fat-free pectin, ivermectin.
I saw Ivor last week or the week before, whatever. Last week, I guess. Early last week. And... he's probably listening because he listens most mornings, he says. So,
well, I know he's got a new puppy.
Yes.
Did he have the puppy with him?
Yes. Very sweet.
Sweet little puppy. It's like a gold. Is it a lab, a yellow lab looking type of thing?
Retriever, I think. Golden retriever.
Is there anything cuter than those dogs when they're babies? It's ridiculous.
Nope. Fantastic. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And obedient so far. They're pretty good natured, those doggies.
Mm hmm. On the ivermectin too, you know that story we had last week about Joe Rogan. Rogan got COVID. You know, part of his spin, because because I still don't think he's vaccinated, but part of his spin was, I got it, I took these things, and I got better in a couple of days.
Yeah.
Which really didn't help the cause, I guess. But, you know, there may be people listening to this show going, what do you mean didn't help the cause? If he took it and it helped, well, how does that hurt the cause? You know, I don't have an answer for that. So if somebody out there had COVID and took ivermectin and got over it in a couple of days, hey, lucky you.
No, and really, you know? The point isn't that there aren't things you can take to mitigate the effects of COVID-19, which now seems so old-fashioned, you know, since we have the Delta. And if you got it, and ivermectin and some of the other what's the word I'm looking for, Phil?
Mononucleosis.
You know what I mean.
Monosaturates.
Monococulates. You know I'm talking about the monococulates, Phil.
That bowl of rice beside their bed.
Yeah,
there's really. Mono on my coculate.
You know, that's what I do is I got the COVID and I stuck my dick in bedside rice for two nights and it made me feel better.
An overdose.
It made me feel better, especially when one of the tiny grains got into my pee hole. There's nothing wrong with that. No, please. Come on, grow up. Grow up, man. Nothing wrong with the fact that there are certain things that will treat it. But at the basics, the base of it all is, if you were vaccinated, you still, you know, and I'm going to play you something. Yes, if you're vaccinated, you can still spread it. If you're vaccinated, you still need to wear a mask. If you're vaccinated, you can still get it. And so, yeah, I understand. Keith Weiland, one of our Hundipees, sent me something. I'm going to play you in a second. There is, you can see how some people are like, well, if you can still get it, if you can still spread it, if you still have to wear masks, why get vaccinated? And the bottom line is, you get vaccinated so that if you get it, you don't die. And if you get it, you don't bung up the ICUs. You know, you're not on a ventilator. And it just makes everyone healthier.
Just look at the numbers again yesterday. Yes, double vax people are getting it. They're testing positive. But then look at the hospital admissions.
Yeah.
They aren't going into the hospital. Some are.
Yeah.
Very vulnerable, very old. But generally speaking, if you're vaccinated, you don't have to go to the hospital. And yeah. You definitely won't be admitted.
But I can see, to be fair, you know, try and understand other people's points of view. You can see why some people, quite a few people actually, are led down this path of all those facts I just said. Here's a guy put together a little video that Keith sent me, and I'll play you some of this because, you know, he makes some valid points, but the bottom line is what we just said. Here, have a listen.
If I get vaccinated, can I stop?
Oh, by the way, the guy's a radio DJ, obviously. Listen to his voice. Hang on.
If I get vaccinated, can I stop wearing a mask? CDC answer, nope. If I get vaccinated, will I be resistant to COVID? CDC answer, maybe, but probably not. If I get vaccinated, I won't be contagious to others, right? Answer, no. The vaccine does not stop transmission. If I get vaccinated, how long will the vaccine last? CDC answer, no one knows. Why? Because it's still in its experimental phases.
Anyway, it goes on like that for the next 2 minutes. And, you know, like I said, if you're open to that line of logic, I can see how you'd go, oh, well, yeah, I guess if it doesn't stop transmission and you still have to wear a mask and the CDC, that experimental phase thing is bullshit. That's just... It's not an... I mean, technically, Pfizer's the only one that's been FDA approved, but generally, these type of vaccines are not experiments. Anyway.
So where does this guy go with that? Is he an anti-vaxxer?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Or I thought maybe he was building up saying, you know...
No.
He was getting to the point that the idea is you don't get really sick and you don't have to go to the hospital.
No, he never acknowledges that part.
Well, of course not. Inconvenient.
Yeah.
the main point is inconvenient.
Yeah, listen to the end of it.
You truly believe that if you're standing in a restaurant, you can get COVID, but if you're sitting, you can't.
Again, that's an interesting, I know. But I'm just trying to say, for a second, let's look at the from the point of view of somebody that's a little hesitant and not sure about it. They're not throwing rocks at the prime minister. They're not a fucking Nimrod, but they're a bit hesitant. You know, it's not our point of view, but you can see how somebody would hear that and go, yeah, that is weird. You know, I was in a restaurant last night during the rain delay. We wore masks through the golf course, clubhouse, I should say. Once we sat down, we could eat. But as soon as I went to the washroom, had to put the mask back on. That is a little bit odd. But
absolutely. Sure it is.
Those are the rules. I'm just following the rules.
What that is just trying to lessen any likelihood of transmission.
Yes.
It's probably not accomplishing a lot once you take that mask off sitting at the table, you know, with other people. But it's you know, it's that every little bit helps, I guess. Because in the United States, I mean, a lot of that is gone.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, masks are not even part of their world right now. And let's see what their numbers are like, and let's see how many of their people end up in hospitals and ICUs based on the numbers of vaxxed and unvaxxed.
Phil, you wanted to say something? I saw you raising your microphone.
Yeah, like there's an equivalent. Like, no one would ever say, you know, I only wear my protective vest, my safety vest, when I'm being shot at. But if I'm not being actively shot at, I take my vest off. Like, people don't say that sort of thing, right? The mask is just an extra layer of protection.
Yeah. I'm playing that because it's interesting. The guy's not he's kind of a bit of a fake DJ voice, but he's not a raving lunatic. He's not Chris Sky yelling at clouds. He's got, you know, there are some points in that. And you think about it is kind of weird that we have to walk around with the mask on. Then as soon as you can sit down, it's kind of weird that I can go to the movie. And as long as I'm in my seat eating popcorn, I can have the mask off. But again, if I go to the washroom, all fine. But, you know, the bottom line is it's not experimental. The bottom line is it's keeping people from getting deathly ill. And it's also eventually if we all, right now in Canada. I just saw the number here in Canada. It is 77% of our population has been fully vaccinated.
It's taken a long time to build on that number, eh? Once it got into the 70s.
Oh, yeah. But imagine a world where it was into the 80s or even the 90s, and none of this would be an issue anymore. The only people getting sick, well, that's what I would say to the DJ guy. Okay, but the only people getting deathly ill from this are now unvaccinated. Yeah, there's breakthrough. You can pick and choose there. It's not perfect. It's not perfect. But here's the other thing, too. Getting mad at people in the public health sector, like in the States, they're protesting. These idiots are going to hospitals, and they're getting mad at healthcare workers that are going to be the ones to keep them alive once they get the tubes in their throat. It's just, that part's so bizarre to me.
But listen, in Hospital Row there on University Avenue last week, there was lots of stories. People being harassed, you know, frontline workers being harassed, going in and out. Like, what's the point of that? Plus, the mask thing in a restaurant, that's just a little more reassurance for people that are still a bit nervous to go out in public and go to restaurants and go to stores. And listen, we have to get this economy back. And if it makes people feel a little more confident that those people are wearing masks when not sitting and eating and we're all, again, all doing our part, it's just going to help to build back faster.
And you don't know who's been vaccinated in the restaurant. I like what you just said in terms of confidence, and that's what it does. It makes you feel a little more comfortable.
Right.
And as far as transmission through I'm double vaxxed with a mask on. Likelihood of transmitting it to somebody inadvertently is pretty low.
Absolutely.
But what you just said is great, is that it's a comfort thing.
And, you know, eventually we'll get over that. And, you look at our cultures, the Canadian culture, the American culture, and where we come from. Canadians just a little more willing to do that.
Yeah, let's get back to this. I'm sure we will. Now is their thanks for being a fan of our show from our friends at Big Ass Fans. They're only on for a couple more days. So if you want, this isn't even like to buy a fan. This is just to give you some free Big Ass stuff. Go to store.bigassfans.ca. Go check our social media. All of it's there. You get the Big Ass hats, the Big Ass stress donkeys, little squeezy things, Big Ass t-shirts and sweaters. It is really the full Big Ass scope of fun things to grab. And if you're listening live on Facebook, just like yesterday, it's super easy and quick to get in. Just type in, I'm a hashtag Big Ass fan. And this is great, by the way. You don't need to buy anything. Just go to store.bigassfans.ca and get some free stuff. Just show them that you were listening and that if nothing else, you know, you heard some of the messages. Store.bigassfans.ca. Click Gear Store. Make your pick. Then enter in the code at the cart. Price is zero, by the way. Enter the code HUMBLEFRED for free stuff. Freddie?
Yeah, the Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan, Canada's number one group benefits plan for small business. Get a free quote today. Go to chamberplan.ca. Get a free quote. And look at the testimonials. A lot of small businesses, they've... you know, they've offered their input, and it's worked for so many small businesses. You know, 30,000 Canadian businesses part of this. They've been around for 40 years. Prescriptions and dental coverage, therapies, depending on the level that you buy in at. Listen, I could talk about this all day long, but do yourself a favor. Go to chamberplan.ca. Find out what this is all about, because it can work for your small company. And, you know, they've done a great job of keeping premiums down. They can do that because so many companies are involved. You know, they have the image of this huge conglomerate. It really is very clever. It's the smart thing to do for your people. It's stable, been around forever, and very simple to sign up. Get her done today, chamberplan.ca.
Michael Landsberg's joining us now. I was thinking of Michael yesterday. It's kind of a, hey, pal, how are you?
Great. How about you?
I'm great. I was thinking of you yesterday. Stern is back from his summer off. They were doing reruns all summer. Fascinating.
I know all about it.
Yeah, which part?
Just the fact I listened to Stern all summer. Yeah. So
wasn't it great? I loved it because it was just interviews, which are my favorite, are both of our favorite parts of the show. I'm done with the whole Ronnie, all the rat, the whack pack shit. I find it annoying, but the interviews are great. Because, you know, you can turn on and then in like an hour and 20 minutes of Seth Rogen, Robert Downey Jr., all these people. It's fascinating. But why did I think of you yesterday? Because Stern was talking about being in, you know, therapy for years. And he said this thing. He said, I had mental illness before it was cool. And I thought of you and I thought, Landsberg's, it's kind of like Landsberg. He's been talking about this lot before the rest of us were willing to admit that we've got some things in our head that make us uncomfortable. Do you feel like it's been years and people are finally becoming a bit more at ease discussing it?
Okay, well, there's so many things that you just said. First of all, good to see you guys. Second of all, you know, when you're waiting on Zoom, it says, I think it's at your personal waiting room.
Oh yeah,
and I'm thinking to myself, it sounds kind of creepy.
It is creepy.
You know, it does. It. I notice that every time I'm on Zoom. Like, what the hell's going on? Is this like Matt Lauer's personal waiting room, and they've just scratched it out and put your name in?
But that's right.
Let me answer the first part, or let me comment on the.
You
first
comment
part.
On anything you want there.
Yeah, Howard Stern is a genius when it comes to the long form interview. No one is like him. And you know, it's funny that you said what you said because my wife and I were having the discussion because we get in the car, Howard Stern is on because I used a car last. And she goes, change it. I go, I understand why you want me to change it because you thought his stuff was just immature and silly and kind of gross. And I could not agree more. But that's not what you're going to hear here. You're going to hear like the best interviewer in the business. And he's going to take people to places that no one else could take them. And you know, I listened to him all summer long doing like these phenomenal interviews that were from some range from, I guess, 8 or 10 years ago to I just heard one with Bob Odenkirk.
Yeah.
And it was done in 2021, but before he'd had his heart attack. So I agree with you on that. And the other part is, yeah, you know, it's pissing me off. Everyone's stealing my thing.
That's right.
Like, oh, Landsberg's got this thing. And, you know, like he's the only one doing it. And now it's like everybody's coming out. I got to find something new. I'm looking for a new disease or illness to come out that can grab me the kind of fame that the first one did.
Well, I thought of you when he said that, and I knew we were going to talk, and it really has become, you know, junky jokes aside, Freddie, I think people are generally more at ease, whether it's Landsberg or Stern talking about therapy or Bell, let's talk poo-poo. That's a Landsberg reference, by the way. But people are more at ease the way we used to be. You know, most people will tell you, oh, my shoulder's bugging me. I've got a torn rotator cuff. But very few people 10 or 15 years ago would say, you know, I'm feeling a little bit depressed these days. I need to talk to somebody about that.
Yeah, you know, I think that we're doing a bit better. But I'm not sure how much because, as I often say, it's kind of above my pay grade to be able to gauge the amount of stigmatization that still exists in our society. But I still, you know, on a regular basis, talk to people who say, oh, God, I don't want anyone to know. Oh, my God. I have a friend, like a buddy who I've known all my life, and he has battled. I mean, it's just robbed him of his life, depression and anxiety, and he still will not tell his wife. He will not tell his kids. He goes, well, what are they going to think of me? And I said to him, dude, what do they think of me? Oh, no, well, they think that, you know, it's good for you for coming out and talking. Well, why wouldn't they say the same thing about you? You know, they're not looking at me like, hey, Landsberg's a loser. They're looking at me like, hey, he's talking about his illness. But that still exists. And it's pretty horrifying that in this day and age, it can still keep people in the closet, prevent themselves from getting help. And let's face it, we hear from people all the time, or not from them because it's too late, but people take their own lives, right? And none of us knew that they were struggling, right? They kept it secret. So yeah, I think we're doing better.
Okay, describe that. Robbed him of his life. Give us an idea of what that is, what that means.
Fred, I use that in two contexts. I kind of say that, you know, depression, for instance, in 2008, for me, and a half year before that, I was dead, but I was living, but I was dead. And I mean, technically, obviously, that's a flawed argument if you just look at the words. But if you, you know, if you put them together and understand what I'm saying, which you are, because I know you're exceptionally bright, man. If you put it all together, it's like, yeah, I was living. I was going to work. I was breathing. I was going to family functions. I was doing all of these things. But I was not feeling like I wanted to be alive, and I was not experiencing anything that life offered. So I look at it this way, that yes, the greatest tragedy of mental illness obviously is suicide. But it's not the only tragedy that somebody who lives with mental illness without getting the help that they possibly could, not everyone has helped, but giving up their life to the illness. If you go through a day and you have lost the ability to experience joy, like if you just can't feel good about anything, then you're living, but you're not really alive. And that's kind of how I look at it.
Mm-hmm. You know, you spoke last time about, you know, sort of how it all manifested itself and how you finally came around to the idea that you needed some help. And where we kind of left it off with you was, and that's kind of what I wanted to talk about today a little bit, is like, what is life like currently? How and you sort of alluded to this a little bit, if I recall, that, you know, you're on ongoing medication. It's something that, you know, you're constantly monitoring, but are there just days when you sort of aren't advocating, or just it's like, hey, I just feel pretty good and I don't even think about it?
I mean, there are days, I would say that the way I would summarize it, if you put it numerically, I have this thing called the Sichter scale. The Sichter scale, not the Richter scale.
Yeah,
you know, like everyone knows the Richter scale, but the cool kids really know the Sichter scale. So I kind of look at it this way, that, like you need some way to measure it. Like when you talk to people who have, you know, all these people that I talk to on a regular basis who are battling mental health, like, I want to know how you're doing. And what doesn't suffice is I'm not doing great. I mean, I don't know what that means compared to yesterday's I'm not doing great. So you look at it this way. On the Sichter scale, a zero would be where I was on November the 24th, 2008, Marriott Hotel in Montreal, room 4 a.m., room 521 at 4 a.m. in the morning. That was my lowest point. That would be, I hope, a zero. I hope there's nothing below it. And a 10 would not be euphoria, because euphoria is not mental health. The ability to feel euphoric is mental health, right? So if anyone said they're a 10, that would mean that they could feel the full range of appropriate emotions, right? That's normal. I live my life between a 4 and a 7. My life is never below a 4 or 7. I never hit that lowness that makes me just wonder in every way whether I'm ever going to get overcome it, because there's this level of negativism that hits you. And unfortunately, as high as I can go is probably a 7 because of the medication. So when you say, you know, when you ask me how I'm doing, most of my days are pretty good. But none of them are really good, because the meds, I've made this deal with the devil. And the deal with the devil is this: look, devil, you take away the 0, 1, 2, 3, and I'll give you the 8, 9, 10.
Mm-hmm.
How it affects your family, like 2008 and between then and now, when they know you're hurting, that's not easy on a family. Because, you know, you're a family. You're the dad. You're my husband, and you're hurting. And
I'm no longer your husband, Fred.
Yeah. I had no idea all that, this time.
That feeling that it can have, what those feelings, the effect that it can have on a family, because there's, again, there's medication, but there's no real quick medicine to get you over it or through it. And talk about that. What's it like for your family when you're in the depths?
What you just described is, first of all, medically, is where there's a massive need. There's no pill you can take that you say, okay, you know, like if I said, okay, you know, my knee's really bothering. It's not. But, you know, if you have knee problems, or, you know, you got shoulder problems, or you say you got a really bad headache, or you say, oh my God, I got constipation, or, oh my God, you know, like all of these non-life-threatening illnesses can be generally treated by one pill, right? You know, you take a pill, all of a sudden, an anti-inflammatory, and your knee's not bothering you. All of those things. I don't know why I pulled constipation out, but
yeah, we got it at anti-inflammatory, you went constipation.
Yeah,
it's our reputation. Everyone thinks, it's Humble and Fred. We got to do some poo jokes
because you think we're full of shit.
That's that too.
Well, that's why I'm offering you the constipation or the pill for the constipation. No, I actually use that because, you know, that's what we're used to, right? You don't feel well, you take something, you feel better.
There's instant gratification.
Depression has none of that. And that takes lives every year. If you could prescribe for somebody a pill that they could take when it's like, okay, you take another medication, Landsberg, but when you have a really bad day, you pop this pill and for 4 hours, you're going to feel better from depression, not anxiety, because there's meds for anxiety for that. The problem is you will be addicted and it will take your life down because they work. But something like depression, you can't take a pill. So you're right. You know, you have the Jewish New Year is the last couple of days, right? And 2 days ago, I had a function with my wife's family and I was feeling good. And so I wouldn't have needed said pill. But I have been to many of those functions where if I could have taken something, I could have been.
That's everyone at your wife's family's Passover or Rosh Hashanah, but that's a different pill.
In the down times, were your children aware of this?
And
that's got to hurt seeing dad in that state.
And how do you have that conversation with them?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it hurts a lot less though when it's open, when it's on the table. Mm-hmm. When it's not this, I mean, we hear it in different contexts, but, you know, the most damaging thing that you can hear from a kid talking about, you know, his upbringing or her upbringing, you know, is, you know, everybody knew that mom was really sick, but no one ever talked about it. Mm-hmm. With mental illness, I'm referring to now, but even with physical illness where somebody gets cancer and they don't want to tell the kids all know something bad's going on.
Sure they do.
And also in my world, everything is, you can make a joke out of everything.
Sure.
So my kids always had that ability to, you know, when I was talking about, not a good day, we could to some extent make fun of it. I'm not sure have fun with it so much, but make fun with it. Just one more thing. We all get to be experts at hiding it. You can't hide it all the time. Like, I could hide it at work, but come home from work somewhere, you got to let down. Otherwise, it's exhausting.
I want to get back to that just quickly, if I can, because when you were talking about the sort of airspace you exist in between a 4 and a 7 on the Sichter scale, you know, sometimes I'm going to use this going to be a shitty metaphor, but or an analogy. You know, I have a weight that I know if I get around 189 or 90, I'm like, OK, I'm getting close to the weight at which I will not allow myself to get any more since I stopped drinking and lost all this weight. I sort of know between that and when I see myself climbing, I do something about it. Is it similar when you are starting to go down a little bit? You say, "Ooh, I'm getting close to 4 again. I need some intervention." Or what do you do when that happens?
You know, there's two different me's. There was the me. So the chronology of my mental illness was, today is the 8th of September, actually, and Off the Record started on September 8th, 1997. And I say that for a totally different reason than saying that. That makes sense?
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah. I say that because that was actually the start of my slide into my first experience with depression. And back then, I had no idea, obviously, what was wrong, which is so complicated for people because, you know, you can walk around with this illness and not know it, right? Because it happens so slowly, you don't notice the changes in you. And I would imagine that being addicted to something can happen that way. You know, my brother was addicted to Ativan, benzodiazepine drug that you take for anxiety, and it makes you better instantly from your anxiety, but it wears off in 4 hours and you want to take it again. So you take it again, and then you take it again, and then 0.5 milligrams is not enough and you're up to 1 milligram. It can happen really slowly with that, where you,
yeah, it's very insidious.
Yeah, you realize, oh, shit. I think I'm like dependent on these, and I'm dependent on an amount that's not going to help me. And I found that depression was the same thing. It happened bit by bit that I didn't know what was happening. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge thing for people to be able to take a step back and say, am I the same person that I was, say, a year ago? So back then, well, that was my first experience. I went on medication, and medication helped me. And then, like everyone, I went off medication because I started to take it for granted. I started to focus on the side effects. And that's the point now where where I'm answering your question, which is, when I was off medication 4 separate times, and each time, obviously, I relapsed, I was following along saying, OK, I'm doing great. Mm-hmm. I'm doing really good. I'm doing pretty good. You know, how are you, Michael? You know what? I'm okay. And part of that is lying to me or lying to myself, because I was not as good as I was saying. And I was saying that because I didn't want to go back on meds, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But still, it was this constant sort of evaluation. Am I okay? Am I sliding back into the hole? Oh my God, I'm going back in the hole. I'm going to have to go back on medication. I was thinking this all the time. And then eventually, when I got to like 188 in your context, I started to think, I think I'm going to have to go back on meds. And my wife would say to me, I think you're going to have to go back on meds. And then I would wait another 6 months of misery. I would get more severely depressed, which makes it more questionable whether your medication is going to work. And I would go through the whole process again. So, yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah. You know, but that's the thing. If honestly, I know this subject better than I've ever known any other subject. If you've got 100 people in a room, like right there in front of you, studio audience for Hummel and Fred, brought to you by whatever. You got a commercial there?
No, I just wanted to give you the studio audience feel.
Oh, that sounded like... sounds like you're unwrapping a present.
No, I know. It's bad. It's a very bad sound effect. It's the only one I have. Yeah. Anyways, please continue.
Let me open this present. It's so beautiful. So if you had 100 people there, and 100 of them had severe depression, and 100 of them had been on medication, and stayed on medication, like forget about all the other people who would have different responses, but these ones, I would tell you that out of those 100, I bet you 95 have gone through exactly the same thing, where they prayed to God, if they believed in God, that their medication would help them. They were so sick. It was like they were dying, right? And it's like, God, you know, just don't let me die. Please, please, let this medication work for me. And then the medication worked. And they went, oh my God, this is the greatest thing in the world, which is what I said at a restaurant on St. Clair called Pharaoh. And my wife and I were there. This was throughout my first depression. We walked in the front door. I'd started taking Prozac 2 weeks before, and I felt like shit. Honest to God, it was like, oh, fuck, I can't believe that I'm just like, I can't believe I'm out. I just want to get home and get into bed. And I said to Karen, I got to go to the washroom. And I didn't have to go to the washroom. You might say, okay, well, he's a creep. He just likes to go and lurk in the washroom.
Yeah, no. Just enjoys that.
Yeah, no, it was a single washroom person. And I went in there because I felt like I had to get away from everything. And by the time I walked to the back of the restaurant, I felt a little better. And honestly, like, I've never felt that kind of profound change again.
Wow.
It's always been so gradual, I didn't notice it. But it was like, oh my God, I feel so much better. But I only feel a little better. I must have been so ridiculously sick. And I come back to the front and I say to Karen, I think I might feel a little bit better. And then I freak out. Here's the freak out. Oh my God, I think I might feel a little bit better. Oh my God, this is the first time I felt anything reasonable to dead in the last 3-5 months. Oh my God, what happens if it's taken away? So we all appreciate it like that. And then we don't care about the side effects.
Yeah,
and then after six months, the side effects, you go, hey, you know what? I'm not loving this. And then you go, well, you know, I'm feeling pretty good. I would never let this happen to me again. You know, yeah. I understand myself better. And after a year, you go off the meds. And out of those 100 people, 95 of them would raise their hand and say, I have done exactly that, except for the feral part. I don't know it, but if you tell me about it, I'll go there.
I'm like, is Landsberg plugging a restaurant he's involved in? You know, when you're talking about this, and Fred brought it up about your family, I can only imagine your spouse, your loved one, the one closest to you, Karen, watching you go through this. At first, it's got to be heartbreaking, but at some point, and I say this respectfully, it's got to be annoying as fuck for them.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, you can say that respectfully, and I feel no disrespect. You know, it's the hardest illness to be a caregiver for. It's the hardest illness. And I'm not saying that other illnesses aren't complicated. I'm not comparing this to, you know, what's it like compared to ALS. That's not what I'm saying. But, you know, for something that's not immediately going to kill you, it is by far the hardest because you can't see it. Because in the back of your mind, there's always this feeling, if you haven't been through it, come on, I know you're sick. I believe that you're sick. I trust you that you're sick. But, you know, like, can't you do a little bit better? You know, like, for the sake of, you know, my family, we're all going out and it's, you know, Rosh Hashanah. And none of us actually believe, but for some reason, we all show up to Rosh Hashanah and we stumble through a prayer because we can't remember it. You know, can't we go for that kind of thing?
Yeah.
So it is really difficult. And our biggest fights come when Karen will say to me, you okay? And I'll go, yeah, yeah. And then the next day she'll go, were you okay? And I'll go, no, I wasn't okay. And she'll go, well, why didn't you tell me? That's our agreement that you will tell me. And I'll go, I don't know. I don't know why.
And, you know, it was compounded with you because of image. To see you on Off the Record, Michael Landsberg, you know, the confident guy.
Yeah.
You know, somewhat of an attitude on that show because you needed one.
What, Landsberg had an attitude? I don't remember. Yeah.
Well, you know, you had to be in control of that show, right?
And Fred, hold on one sec. Let's not have to prep. You can come out and say that, you know, you were on the show, that you were super confident, probably bled over too cocky. You know, you were kind of hard on people sometimes. And, you know, sometimes you're a dick. You can say that, and I not only am I not offended, but that was me. So yeah, well,
continue. it was sports talk, and guys tend to do that. My point is that image of the guy on television, no one would have ever dreamed that you were going through that, and I mean that just adds to the frustration and the pain you went through, because you had to act every day as well in front of a camera.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of depressed people get, they just, as you say, go to bed or go hide or, yeah. you know, go into their office and shut the door. You had to perform. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I don't think my job is more difficult because of my job. Like, I don't think having depression and doing a TV show or a radio show is more difficult than being an accountant and having it. It's different, though. And okay. there's some unique challenges to it. Yeah. And there's I have some regrets about moments that I missed out on because of my illness. Like, I remember this was early on. So this was before my first time medicated. So probably, I don't know, 4 months into Off the Record, Lennox Lewis showed up. And Lennox Lewis, as you know, grew up in multiple places, including Kitchener. And when he was in Kitchener growing up, he watched Sports Desk, which I hosted. So when he came in, and I'm a really good judge of this, you know, how does someone feel about walking in and seeing you? Is it like, hey, I don't know this person, but yeah, I'd like, hey, nice to meet you. Or is it, fuck, I don't want to be here. Who gives a shit what this guy has to say? I could tell that he was happy to meet me. He brought a scrapbook of pictures of himself. And he was showing me, you know, boxing when he was a kid or whatever. And I thought, oh, my God. I got to get out of here. I'm just like, I'm my head's going to explode. Oh my gosh. And I'm nodding my head going, oh, that's so cool. And I'm thinking, oh my God, he knows I'm lame. He knows I'm dying. Why can't I just tell him, dude, I'm dying right now. I don't know what's wrong with me at this point in my life, but I just can't keep going on with this. And I regret that because I was lame. And I said to Bob Mackowitz, the producer of the aforementioned show, if I ever say to someone, so what's your greatest memory? Then, you know, it's over for me, right? Because that's like, you know, there's got to be a better question to ask. And there's got to be
that was your signal to your producer, like, we need to stop this now.
Put me down.
Yeah. Michael, I have one question for you, though, quickly. What is your greatest memory? No, I'm just kidding. You know, Michael, again, we've got about 5 or 6 minutes left. And, you know, I just love talking about this with you. I want to play some audio from something called the Lands Blog.
Yes.
And I'm going to play about 45 seconds of it for you. I played a little bit for Freddie earlier. I just love this. It's Michael doing a walking, talking. For reference, it's like the Rick Mercer rant. But the reason I want to play it is I just love the interaction between you and I think this is your daughter, Case.
Yeah,
yeah, this is Grace.
Folks, the Lance Blog for the 6th of September, 2021. Try to match my speed, okay, Case? I'm going to walk fast.
So what you have to understand for context is all the way through this rant, Dad is telling his daughter how he wants the camera work to be, and eventually she comes up with a great solution. Listen to this.
Hello. And now I'm going to walk slower, and I'll let you know if you're going to... Rah, look out! Nice job. It's the 6th of September, 2021, the Daily Lance Blog, and I just saw a post on Twitter, and it asked a question, does depression, you gotta keep going, Case.
I thought we would stop.
No, and I'm thinking a full walk and talk. The question that was tweeted out by Sick Not Weak was, does depression make us vulnerable, or does depression hit us when we're vulnerable? And it was actually attributed to me, and I thought to myself, did I ever say that? Because it is actually a pretty decent question. What are you grinning about, Casey?
I'm struggling.
Yeah, you got to pick up the pace. I will let you know if you're going to run into anything.
And I'll walk forward.
Fine. Let's do
that. Was odd when she said that to you. Yeah. It reminded me so much of my youngest kid. Like, it's exactly what she said. Well, why don't you do that then? But
By the way, the Daily Lands blog is... We launched our, it was not for profit, then became a charity, Sick Not Weak Foundation, on March the 10th, 2016. And I said at the end of it, hey, it's the Daily Lands Blog. We're here 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 364 days a year. And then we clicked off, and my buddy was shooting it. His name is Mitch Azaria. And he goes, why did you say that? And I said, I have no idea. Well, since then, the first 3 years, I actually did it 364 days a year. We just moved. That was, you're seeing me now from a new shop. We live at Bathurst in College. We moved last Monday. You know, I shouldn't say this as a mental health advocate, but fuck it. What are you going to do? You know, I'm talking about myself, but I wanted to kill myself in the process of moving. Honest to God, it's horrible. We lived in the same house for 25 years. You know, our kids were really young when we lived there. We had everything. So that proves once again that I have the ability to take the show off topic.
Well, yeah, that's fine.
So, okay. So why did you do it? Why did you move?
Why do we move? I think this is going to be deeper than you expected.
I figured.
Yeah, I think because my wife wanted to do it, and you know, so much of what we've done in our lives probably has been because I wanted to do it, right?
Yeah.
Although very often I don't want to do anything. You know, the only thing I want to do is lie on the couch, which I would say is actually something. But she really wanted to do it, and she wanted to buy an old place and like rebuild it on the inside, which we did. And she wanted the change. You know, I'm a Jewish guy. She's a Jewish woman. She grew up on Dubourne Avenue. I grew up on Old Forest Hill Road. We've lived within 10 blocks of there for most of our lives. And she just said, you know, let's do something different.
Cool.
So I said, I should probably go along with that. Right. And she's done a beautiful job.
And you've had several weeks since leaving TSN 1050. Yes. How's that going? I mean, I can't imagine not doing the show. I can't imagine waking up one morning and thinking I don't have an attachment to this business anymore. Are you going through that at all? Or
no.
Okay.
You know, it's really weird. I thought the same thing. Some changes in my life that I thought would be oppressive when it came to like the memories and lamenting and just thinking, okay, well, you know, that different stage in my life, all of that. When Off the Record was canceled, I had said to myself for years in advance, the day that it gets canceled, I am not going to lament it. I'm not going to be sad. I'm going to move on to whatever's next for me. And I proved to myself, literally, like I shocked myself because I remember walking into radio and thinking, hey, you know, I'm not thinking about turning left. I'm turning right into radio, not into television. And that was cool with me. And then when we moved last Monday, I was really like, oh God, I love my area. I walk my dog and I love the people that I meet. This is going to be, you know, our kids grew up in this house. It's going to be so sad. Haven't thought about the house, like not even once. And leaving TSN, Big Finish here because I hear music.
That's right. You're being played off.
Honestly, the next morning, guys, when I woke up, I thought, all right, what's going on? What are we going to do today? And I know what I'm doing today, and I'll tell you all about it next time.
Right. Sicknotweek.com. Go check out Michael's Lands blogs. Always a great conversation. And now that you've been reintroduced to the 2021 Humble and Fred, hopefully we will start to grow in your esteem, and you'll feel more and more comfortable when you come back, which we would love to have you, my friend.
I didn't sound comfortable.
No, you sounded great.
I told you, this is just you.
I'm just saying a bunch of words so I can
compliment Landsberg. I think you guys, like I told you, I fully expected to go, he's still a dick, and I'm going, hey, I love this experience. You guys are smart, and there's, as my former boss, Mark Millier, who I think you know, Fred. No, maybe you don't know. He used to say, you can't teach smart. The way they say in the NBA, you can't teach length. Mm-hmm. In the NFL, you can't teach speed. In broadcasting, you can't teach smart.
Well, we appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Michael.
Michael, always a pleasure. Happy New Year. All the best to you and your family. Sicknotweek.com. And we'll see you sooner than later, my friend. Thanks again. Michael Landsberg, everybody.
Was the Gig Sky guest of the day.
The Gig Sky guest of the day today, Michael Landsberg. Go to sicknotweek.com. Find out what Michael's up to, and you can see all the Lands blogs are there, and his cinematographer, Casey. Thanks, Michael. And Fred, what do we want to say about the Gig Sky guest of the day?
Gig Sky has a new offering. It includes mobile data while flying. When you're traveling on selected airlines and routes, you can get mobile data. Go to gigsky.com/aeromobile to see the list of airline partners. I mean, it's fantastic. I mean, they're just so innovative, so progressive. You know, download the GigSky app today for Android or iOS and get affordable data coverage in over 190 countries worldwide. The easiest, most affordable way to stay connected internationally. All GigSky data plans are prepaid with no contracts or recurring fees. You get what you pay for. Your service is never throttled. And now it's in the sky. Download the GigSky app today. Enter code HF2021 for $5 off your first plan or visit GigSky.com.
Well, isn't that nice? You know, always an interesting conversation. And that continues. Did you hear that, Phil? The cross-fading? Did you hear the cross to fade from one to the other?
Yeah, you didn't fade it.
You know, I'm like a DJ. Let's welcome once again. Always a good conversation with this gentleman. He is the retirement Sherpa. You are not, so don't pretend you are. I mean, let's be serious now. Tim Niblett, how are you, sir? Welcome to our program for another Wednesday visit.
Good morning. I'm doing great. Thanks. Got an early appointment, so I'm all snazzed up for you guys today.
Well, look, the way you're wearing your hair, you've got a real Lord of the Rings vibe going on today.
Did you use a hair straightener or something, Tim?
I think I mentioned it last week. I kind of feel like I'm between Daryl Hall and Tom Petty here. So, yes, I have to put some goop in there, Fred, to kind of keep the flyaway from going on.
All right.
Plus, when I go golfing, it gets in my eyes sometimes. So it's very, very important.
Well, the great Mordor is here to talk about finance. This is my this will be my partner for 27 hotly contested holes on Saturday.
I listen, hear we're the feature group.
Well, I'm telling you, people are underestimating us. Somebody said to me, oh, you want to take a bet? I'm like, whatever bet Niblett wants, we're taking these little $10 bets. I think we're going to surprise some people.
Well, don't forget to not tell them that I was the inaugural winner with my partner the very first year.
Exactly. Students are going back to school. Let's talk a little bit about something that I and my family availed ourselves of to great success. It was my ex-wife's idea. I didn't really understand it. But over the 20 or so years, maybe more, that we contributed to an RESP, you know, it really worked well for both of our daughters accessing that money to go to school. Why don't you lay it out for people as to what are some of the advantages of that?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you know, kind of a obvious time of year to maybe be thinking of it, the school year starting for all the students and everything. I mean, at the end of the day, it's something that we hope we're going to need for our kids or for our grandkids, whatever. And it's free money, right? You get the Canada Education Savings Grant, the CESG, 20% of what you put in, two limits. But hey, 20% free money is a pretty good deal last time I checked.
I'd say it's fantastic. And you can also do a catch-up thing, right, if you're late to the game?
Right. So the limits, Fred, each year are $2,500 per child. I just had this asked by a client last week. One kid, another on the way. They say, hey, do we get another $2,500 per year? Yeah, of course you do. So it's $2,500 per year. But yes, if you're behind, you can put up to $5,000 a year in, so 2 years worth, and still get the 20% CESG on top of that.
And just watch for people who are, you know, thinking about this. This is also works for grandparents if you're retirement age and if you're younger and you're thinking about it for your own kids. Just kind of walk through the idea that once you've accumulated this money, just go through two scenarios. One, obviously, if you're using it for school, you can access it for school. And also, what can you do with it if one of the kids you've put away the money for doesn't use it for school?
Right. So one kind of technical thing, the child needs to have a social insurance number. That's how they track the contributions, the grants. So then once an account is set up, the parents, the grandparents, the neighbor, the aunt, the uncle, whatever, anybody can contribute to it. So if they do go to school, and there's a wider and wider range of institutions too, I can't rhyme them all off, but my belief is, of course, universities, certainly colleges, but I believe there's a lot of trade schools in that as well. You know, any legitimate post-secondary education. And the funny part is, you don't have to prove what you're doing with the money. You can take it and buy a sports car with it if you want. You just have to prove that you're registered
at a legitimate
educational institute. And then if the child doesn't go, or if they don't use it all too, right, if you started early and the investments were good, and a little segue on that note, I mean, there's a full range of investment choices you can use for these, so it's great that way. You get all the money back you put in, you get all the growth that there was on the money that you put in. You just don't, understandably, fairly, you don't get the grant and the growth that was on there. But so you're guaranteed, you're not going to lose a penny. You're putting money away for the future one way or the other. And if the child goes to school, and probably will, you get the 20% boost.
So just to be clear here, $25 per child per year, that's about
$2,500.
Or 25, what did I say?
$25.
$2,500 a year. That's about $200 a month, right, in contributions, just over. So if you were to start now, you could make it $500 or $700 as a catch-up thing over the next few years.
Right, absolutely. And mm-hmm. also in the talking points, I just gave the little mm-hmm. tip, hint, strategy. You know, most of us are putting money into RSPs. If you, mm-hmm. depending on your income and your tax bracket, let's say you put $6,000 into your RSP, mm-hmm. get $2,500 back, take that refund, put it into the RESP,
right on.
And then get the CESG. So for $6,000, you've actually gotten $9,500, give or take a buck, of investments.
And I listen, both of my kids, as I say, went through it and used it. One of my daughters in a university setting, Spencer used it first for university and then for college. And as you say, as long as you're registered in something, the government doesn't care, or you just have to register. You have to be enrolled in some kind of institution. But as you say, like it's so great whether you're a parent or a grandparent or somebody that's supporting, because it does grow. And even if you don't use it, as you say, you don't lose it. You just don't get the 20% CESG top up. I do want to finish by asking, so someone who is a financial advisor, much like yourself, someone like you, that would be who you can set this up, or does it have to be with an RESP institution?
Well, no. Yes, I can set it up. No, it doesn't have to be with one of these ones that solely or primarily does the RESPs. Often they kind of get you into the hospital or just after you've come home or whatever and all. Mm-hmm. So those exist, of course. But yeah, virtually any financial institution, certainly all the banks, all of the Sherpas can do that for people for sure.
All right. Well, that's good to know. Tim.niblet. At RaymondJames.ca. It's not on Bodog, but if anyone wants to, place a bet on Team Sherpa, we're taking bets,
$10. We're taking action.
We're taking action. $10 a man. Just come and see me before the round. I'm telling you right now, people are underestimating this team. I have a really good feeling about Saturday. Thank you, young man.
My pleasure. Just super quickly, since we won't have the pleasure of seeing you guys next week, before you see me next time, I'll be in the Florida Stadium watching them play Bama. So wish me health luck down in Florida there.
Wow. So you're going to be shoulder to shoulder with 80 or 90,000 people.
92,000, my closest friends. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, you know what I always say? Good luck, America. Good luck. Timmy, thanks, my friend. I'll see you either today, but Saturday for sure. All the best, my brother.
Sounds awesome. Enjoying profit all. See you, Philly.
Look at Phil waving goodbye. You got to get an RESP for your yet unborn child, for your baby wontons.
I did benefit from an RESP back in the day.
Yeah. No, you know what? I got to hand it to ex-wife Randy. It was a great investment for us.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And, so do the math if you want, but $2,500 a year for a long time went a long way to pay for both of my kids' educations and all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it was fantastic. While we're waiting for Dan Duran, and he'll be with us any second now.
When do they top that up? At the end or each year they give you the 20% or credit for 20%?
I think you get that every year. And then if what happens is, we should have asked him that. But if you don't go to school, Phil, what do you say?
Approximately 4 to 6 weeks after it's reviewed.
So each year or at the end of
like
the...
Like when you contribute, yes. There'll be a period of time and then they put it in after.
When it comes to keeping track of your health, many people are already using wearable devices. I am, Fred is, I got the health gauge. A lot of people are trying to track their steps, and that's fine. I'm not saying you shouldn't, but if you're also looking to track blood pressure, oxygen saturation, heart rate, pulse wave velocity, activity levels, calories burned. Freddie even was setting up, he set up the health gauge so that you can be notified if somebody's texting you. It's all there at healthgauge.com. And the promo code, of course, HumbleFred15 for 15 points off. And some of our HundiPs and Patreon friends are availing themselves of this amazing device. The data can be sent to the cloud. You can share it with your healthcare providers. You know, one of my favorite things to do every day is to see how much sleep I have. You know, 7.0 hours. Didn't feel like it. But, you know, I felt like I didn't get enough sleep. Anyways, it's really quite the wonderful, you know, it's one of those things. I never had a Fitbit or one of the other things, but I now I feel like I'm going to golf today, which I do occasionally. And one of the things I look forward to is seeing at the end, how many steps have I taken. So it's not only steps, but all the other things as well. Go to healthgauge.com, as I mentioned, and check out the Health Gauge Phoenix and get a nice little 15% bump from the price. Okay?
Very nice.
Are you all done? You're all done, aren't you? All your things. Excellent. Well, then, you know what? Why don't we just take the rest of the show and have fun with this sweet angel boy?
Gander and the Anchorman comes, his eyes for credentials he has none. Can't tell a headline from his bum, but his voice is nice and low. Gander and the Anchorman's here, he's prone to falling off his chair, but he's got a big wang, so he don't care, and his voice is nice and low.
My voice is nice and low.
And now Dockside with the Humble and Fred News live from Lake.
Lake in the background if
live
you're watching.
From that lake.
Yeah.
Here's Ted Duran.
Today is National Ampersand Day to celebrate. And the Ford government is in its fly by the seat of your pants approach to COVID. And after saying, not in Ontario, we won't, we'll now have a vaccine verification system, or a passport. It'll be in place by October 22nd. Here's the problem, though. They're building this mobile app in-house, from scratch. Quebec did this, and it took about 4 months. So in 6 weeks, Ontario will be up and running. So unless they've been planning this rollout in secret since June, some tech people are saying, good luck. Yeah. Good luck in that.
How do you feel about the passport?
I think it's great.
Good.
It's inedible. It was inevitable.
It's inedible.
It's inedible.
I like edibles.
It's inevitable.
I like to eat my passport.
Phil, how is your passport taste?
It's delicious and required.
Oh, dumpling. I'm not. I'll tell you one thing. I'm pro-vax, but I'm not fucking eating any vaccine passport, Dan. Don't
it's
you
very
dare.
Flaky.
Don't you dare.
I mean, they should have been thinking about this. I hope that they've been developing this in secret because they should have been thinking about this like a year ago because it was inevitable that it's going to happen. It's just how it's going to be rolled out. And as soon as Ontario saw like Quebec starting to do this, other provinces, you know, I know we had, you know, the whatever document you get in an email when you do get a vaccine, but you know, just a little bit, something a little bit stronger and verifiable would be awesome. And, you know, now it's kind of late to the game. This October 22nd deadline or launch date is, you know, might be a little bit optimistic considering that. And my understanding is that building an app is not that big of a deal. It's just integrated with the database and testing and security and all those issues. It might take a little bit longer, but at least it's
well,
happening.
What for? It's going to be an app. Why don't they just issue a card like a license or something? But
just because it'll be easier that way, you won't have to ever worry. The chances are, you know, every human being who is going to get one will have their phone on them.
Yeah, but Howard, the problem with that is, have you ever seen some people with their phones when they have to access stuff like that? Especially older people. It's like, Anyway, I've just gone through that recently. It's going to be quite the adventure for some people to go to a place and get it up on their phone. But
yeah, agreements.
Maybe they should have both or something. I don't know.
But, you know, okay. But, you know, there's every they can't think of every, you know, maybe they will for older people eventually have something. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Dan's point, though, is that the government should have been thinking about this, you know, mm-hmm. prior to. But yeah, mm-hmm. is your takeaway that you don't think they'll have it ready by the October time period? Or
it's going to be a challenge, in my opinion. I don't think, because everything I've read about it is like it just takes a little bit longer to develop big, huge systems mm-hmm. with data.
Sure.
But here's the way I would look at it. This should be a national thing. So they should have been on it a long time ago.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I agree. It should have been way easier. I mean, I don't know what
it should be a national thing.
It should be. But then again, there's the dynamic between the federal government and the provincial governments that, you know, because each provincial government runs its own health system. So this may be tied up in, you know, the legal processes whatever.
But it's all about the travel. I'm going to go to Manitoba, then I'm going to go to Saskatchewan. I might visit PEI. It's like, that's why it should be national. And I know they all handle their own, you know, their own healthcare system, each province. But it's the travel aspect of this, which is going to throw another. But hey, Justy, he didn't want to do it. He didn't want to deal with it. So.
Live from the newsroom in his home with a comment. Here's Phil Hong.
Well, I thought it should have been done when we were getting vaccinated. Like, we already have the paperwork, right? All the vaccination receipts. Mm-hmm. Like, the Fed should have just said, we're going to put that in a national database.
Yeah.
Here's your passport.
No, yeah. But he didn't want to. No.
Should have been some cooperation.
Oh, yeah. It was Justin Trudeau who didn't want to do anything. And he doesn't. Nobody, you know what? Nobody does anything good. By the way, those people. Sorry?
I was just going to say, Fred makes a great point in that if the federal government had done it, it would have been there would have been a standard to follow across mm-hmm. Canada. So all these systems, whatever the apps or whatever, would have been one app, and we would have all been,
No.
Plus, we can't forget, it's a lot more fun to beat up on the fat conservative guy. But anyway, that's a whole other story.
But, no, don't start, please.
Oh, come on.
It's fun beating up on everyone. Come on. It's not just fun beating up on the fat, bald guy that they trot out every few years to be the conservative. I've lived in 5 provinces. Every time I moved provinces, I had to get a new driver's license. You know, they're not everything.
And health card.
Not everything is standardized. Or inedible. So, you know, we're going to have one here and they'll have one there. And so what? Would the fat bald guy do anything different? No.
No, but you moved to those areas. People travel across the country quite a bit. That's the problem.
But the fat guy aside, would the conservatives have done anything different? You know,
who knows?
No, but there's you pointed out to me the other day, there's no national health care. Mm-hmm. Provinces are in charge of executing health care. So this is a health care issue.
Yeah, but it's the travel, Howard. Are you not hearing me?
No, I
can't. You go to different things and you have to show your card. Yeah, that's going to be the issue.
I hear, but I don't listen. Rachel. Anyway.
So,
God.
Hey, by the way, if I want to go back, here's the thing. I've got Rachel, I got her head around the fact that we should go to Costco. Because we were at her friend's house the other night. Very Toronto, cool architect, you know, very hip and everything was cool and everyone was cool there except for me. And he served, man, it was good. He served sausages, chicken, and steak. All that came from Costco. These Costco steaks, fuck, they were good. And I said to her, because she's like, I'm going to go to Costco. And I'm like, we should go to Costco. Anyway, once her friends are all Costcoing out, I said, you would really enjoy it. Now, my question to you, Costco boys, I let my membership slide. Mm-hmm. So what are the steps to go in there and start it over again?
Just go up to the service desk and tell them. In 2 minutes, you'll be set up.
So you pay your initiation fee. What is that? It's like $150.
Yearly membership.
Depends on what level. I've got the executive.
Yeah, I got the executive too. Do you have to? What's the executive allow you to do?
You get 2% back on everything you spend each year in a cash consideration.
And discounted business checks.
Mm-hmm. So I had that before, because that's what I used to have.
You're probably still in the database somewhere, so they'll just reactivate you.
So I go over to my Costco today, and they'll be like, hey, welcome back, Howard.
Yeah. Like, you won't stump them. It's not like... It won't be like, sorry, sir, we can't help you. This is what happened
before. They'll be like, excuse me, hang on a second. Jenkins, can you get here? We've got someone who's trying to re-up their Costco membership. I don't know what to do.
But this is a Sam's Club membership.
Hey, that's right. Someone has a Woolco membership card, and they're trying to get in here.
Club Zed?
Howard. You know what that guy served you the other night? You know what you call that? I do it from time to time.
A mixed grill?
That's it. Yeah. And you enjoyed that, didn't you?
I got to tell you.
A little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Plus the home we went to they were just such nice people and but they were the kind of people that, Delise and you were like this, you know, they just, I have so much food. There was so much food. I loved it so. It was so much. I'm going to tell you the food. So first of all, the appetizer was this giant round plate of olives and meats and cheeses. And I was like, yeah. Then, so it was sausage, chicken, and steak, corn, asparagus, salad, potatoes. Like, it was so good. And then for dessert... Someone had made a beautiful cake. It was with meringue and big slices of cake. I got a slice of cake the size of a baby's head.
Did you eat more than anyone else?
Probably. I got to do, though, I ate as much as I wanted because I kept saying to Rachel, see, this is what people do. They just serve you lots of food, so I just kept eating it.
When my kids were young, whenever we had asparagus, I used to sit there and go, why do we always have to have the asparagus? Why not? Why can't we just have the agus? Why always the asparagus?
How'd that go over? Hang on a second.
They'd roll their eyes.
Hey.
They'd roll their eyes.
Ah. Gee, I wonder why. Okay. No, it was great. So you're saying if any time I choose to, I can go back to Costco and they will bring me back in.
If you need a referral, call one of us and we'll...
Why would I need a referral? I thought you said I was in the system.
There's a cost factor here, though. With the executive card, the membership fee each year is $150 or something. Then you have to decide, with my 2% back, am I going to cover that cost? We do, because we use it quite often. The other card, the basic one, is just like $50. That might be more... in line with your usage, unless you plan on going there quite a bit. It's something you really have to think about, Howard.
Well, I've already thought of it as a corporate expense, so, you know, I'll be buying things for the company. So whatever you decide.
And you get two cards.
Oh, so I do?
Yeah, you get two cards. So you get yours, and then you can, you know...
One for Rachel, yeah.
One for Rachel, or...
Okay.
One for someone else, one of your kids, maybe.
Dan Duran, Ian Service from Credible Goat, our server that hosts this podcast, sent me a note this morning. Thank you, Phil. And he said, Dan Duran is on... Where's the note here? He said, just heard Dan Duran on The Edge, a radio station we all used to work at, on the Up Express ad.
Yeah. That's a new voice thing that I got recently. That was one of the first in studio, I've done ads, but in my home studio, that was the first in studio one I've done during this whole COVID thing.
Are you like, you actually went into a downtown production?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Went downtown and there was all kind of protocols in the studio and distancing and masks and all that. And yeah.
How about the microphone you used? Did you have to get it sanitized after? Or?
No, I'm being serious. It was sanitized, and it had a note that our actors union, ACTRA, has protocols for that, and they said all the things have been done according to the ACTRA standards and stuff. As you enter the room, you see this sign on the door, and then you get in there, and yeah.
Okay. Well, as long as you're safe, Dan, and congratulations on you know, being the voice of another big time campaign.
Thank you.
I heard it yesterday too, as well.
Did you?
Sports station on a sports station. Yep.
It's funny. The I don't know if you guys still, you know, this was a couple days ago. Someone threw gravel at the prime minister.
Yeah.
And I'm looking here on CTV's news. It says police in London are say they are investigating after someone threw gravel at Liberal leader Justin Trudeau. I'm thinking, you know, if this was the States, the fucking investigation would be over by now.
Oh,
it would be like investigating. That guy's done. Mm-hmm. Investigating. Where's this such sucks
they're
here?
Fingerprinting the gravel.
It's like, yeah.
Dusting a gravel for Prince.
you, if that was the U.S. president on a campaign stop, you're not getting close enough to throw gravel at anybody.
No, I know. And you know, on one hand, it's like, oh, funny little Canada, you know, charming little Canada. But on the other hand, like, that's disgusting.
That's
our lead. That's our leader. No matter what you think about him, that's they got to be all over that. I mean, you can't have that.
No, I'd say
not in Canada.
No, well, not anywhere.
And I don't care what you think about Aaron O'Toole or Justin Trudeau or Jagmeet Singh or any of these people.
Right.
I'll tell you what they did that you didn't do. They went and tried some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't care if you don't like Trudeau, but he didn't have to do this. Neither does Aaron O'Toole. He didn't have to do this.
Mm-mm. Right.
You know?
And to all whatever leaders I could find out of, they all made the same comment about how horrible this is and it's not acceptable, and that came out right away
they condemned it. But I'll tell you what, two of the four of us on this Zoom meeting right now, if we were prime minister, we would not stand for having fuckers throw gravel at us. I don't know how he just doesn't turn around and, you know, like, fucking throw gravel back. You know what I mean?
I was thinking, you imagine how Trump, if that had been, say, Biden, it would have been, well, he's that type of guy. You just want to pick up gravel and throw at him. I totally understand that. He shouldn't be that way. Then people wouldn't want to throw gravel at him.
No, exactly. I mean, at least, Aaron O'Toole was out there going, well, he's got a gravel face. Oh, he wouldn't come up with a nickname. Old gravel balls. Oh, yeah, gravel.
He was throwing with the best gravel.
We have the best gravel. Trump people. Fuck.
If it was Howard, you'd turn around and go, who was that? Who
are
did
you
that?
Fucking kidding me?
Who are these
people? It would be me. Because he got on the bus. I'd get off the bus. The RCMP would have to pull me off some douchebag in London. And now Howard Glassman is no longer prime minister. He's been charged with assaulting a constituent.
You know, this, another sort of a sub theme through this whole election is, you know, this, what's his head? What's Bernier's first name? This
Maxime.
Maxime Bernier. This Canadian People's Party CPP thing? It's disturbing. That's where all those people are gravitating to. Yeah.
Yeah, we got
some of the whacked out shit he comes up with. Wow. And he was like a normal guy not long ago.
A lot of us were. A lot of us were. Dan Duran, thank you for your news.
Okay. Dan, I don't think I'll be able to do this show tomorrow, by the way.
Okay.
So.
Why is that?
No, I'm heading out to BC.
Well, then, yeah, of course.
Brother again.
Wait, are you leaving today or are you leaving tomorrow?
Tomorrow. Flight leaves at 10, so I'll be on the road.
Well, Godspeed, my friend.
Yeah.
And the following week, we're not doing a show. And so we will see you back here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
See you, Dan. See you, Dan Duran.
Dan, maybe I'll try and call you later for a little Dan and Howie catch up.
Hey, that'd be awesome. I'd love to hear from you.
Okay, man.
Okay.
All right, take care. Yeah. Phil Hong. Bing
this
bong.
Episode of Hubble and Fred is brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Health Gauge, Bodog, T2 Utility Engineers, Big Ass Fans, and our newest sponsor, Duer, D-U-E-R, the world's most comfortable pants. We stream to the planet from the remote headquarters of the Hubble and Fred Show. More Hubble and Fred tomorrow and online at HubbleandFred.com. Where's that?